Well, when I said I never got to see the guest preacher, I was saying the truth. The first person I told my title to said that I was tackling one of the hardest subjects, and it's 3 pages long. So, let's jump in. The church hierarchy. Every organization has to have a hierarchy. Businesses, militaries, governments, and everything. Hierarchy means chain of command. God organized the church with a hierarchy as well. Christians are to be in submission to God, but since God is 3 different individuals, it can be confusing. To paraphrase Augustine, if you don't believe in the Godhead, you will lose your soul. If you try to understand the Godhead, you'll lose your mind. I've done this research and come up with this so that you won't have to lose either. Well, you might lose your mind a little bit. Okay, the first thing we need to notice is that a Christian must submit to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. When they say Christ, they mean the Godhead, and God means God the Father. Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now here, I'm going on a little bit about this word give here. Very important word. And I'll tell you why. It's because it is most of the time used on interactive objects. Inanimate objects. But the Holy Ghost is not an inanimate object. So, what does give mean here? Give, in this case, is used to show the authority of God. God the Father sent God the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. There's a bunch of different names for Holy Ghost. And he sent the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't send another person unless you're in authority over them, which shows that God the Father is above God the Holy Spirit. We know there's another part, God the Son. Where does he come in? We'll get to that. Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The next thing we need to look at is that a Christian must submit to God the Son. He's next. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. That's John 8:29. Forgot to say the verse at the beginning. He who sent me. We talked about giving, and sending is the same thing. You cannot give or send unless you're in authority over that person or thing. So this shows that God the Father is above God the Son. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The Helper there is another name for the Holy Spirit. And it says, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send. This is Jesus talking here. I shall send. We were talking about sending, so he's sending the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is under God the Son. 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 28. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The person that put all things under the Son was the Father. And then the Son conquered death and gave them all back to the Father. The third thing we want to look at is a Christian must submit to God the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 through 15. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Acts 2:32-33. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now, I'm not saying anything for these three verses on the Holy Spirit, because I talked about the Holy Spirit during the God the Son, because it's convenient. Because during God the Son, it does a little bit of order, where it talks about such as sending the Helper and sending the Spirit of Truth and such. So I'm just going to read the last verse and go on to the next point. Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The fourth thing we need to look at is a Christian must submit to the Scriptures. This one is exceptionally weird because the Scriptures are inanimate object. It'd be like if my dad came up to me one day and said, "This brick right here is more important in building our home than you are." Now, the home is built by people, not bricks. The house is built by the bricks. So, it's kind of weird saying that the Scriptures, which is an inanimate object, are more important than the people are in a higher rank. So, we're going to look at that. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Inspiration of God. Later, in some other verses, we find that the God it's talking about here is not God the Father or God the Son, it's God the Holy Ghost or Spirit, whichever name you want to use for him. So, the book has as much authority as the author. That is why it's not higher up. If God the Father had done it, it would be higher up. If God the Son had done it, done the Scriptures, it would be higher up. But God the Holy Spirit did it. That's why it's where it is. Hebrews 3:7-8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit says, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit says, he was the one that inspired the scriptures. Of course, God the Father and God the Son told him exactly how to inspire it, but he's the one that did it, I think. Yeah. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Other translations of the Bible here, I think they say instead of moved, they say inspired. So, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:11 through 14. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with them, so that even Barnabas was carried away with it. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Now, verse 14 in New King James Version is odd. Straightforward about the truth of the gospel. I thought that was just a kind of weird verse, and it actually means that they basically weren't doing what the scriptures said. So, Paul rebuked them. So, this shows that the apostles, or anyone else for that fact, is higher than the scriptures. Well, God is higher than the scriptures, obviously, but any human is not higher than the scriptures. The fifth thing we need to look at is a Christian must submit to the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets, they're dead. I got confused when I did this one too, so we're going to look into this, because the apostles and prophets did write in the Bible. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they did write. So we have some of the commands from them, actually from the Holy Ghost, but translated sort of from God to the apostles to us today. And we're going to see how those affect us. Mark 13:11, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Matthew 6:16-19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, in that verse there, he was talking directly to Peter, but talking indirectly to all the apostles. So, he was actually talking to all the apostles there, and they had special things they could do. As we see, they could do miracles and other things. But that shows us that they had special powers given from God. They were higher than us. Acts 16:6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Ephesians 2:19-21. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, in these verses, it has a... It shows the church as a building. And the most important pieces are the ones higher up in rank. So, God, Jesus Christ actually, is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is a very important piece. Now, the apostles and prophets, it says, are the foundation. The foundation is very important. So, it's in this building, it's listing them in rank, sort of. It has Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, of course, is most important, and then it has the apostles and prophets, which is the foundation. The foundation, as you see in... Where is that? The two houses? The one on the sand and the one on the rock. Those two. You see that the foundation is very important. So, the apostles and prophets are the foundation here. The sixth thing we need to look at tonight is that a Christian must submit to leadership in the local church. Leaders in the New Testament are called elders, bishops, overseers, pastors, or shepherds. These are different names for the same position in the church, not the Catholic Church, God's church. We don't want y'all getting confused with bishops and pastors. Pastor is not a preacher, it's an elder. And a bishop is not somebody in the Catholic Church, it's an elder. Don't get confused there. Acts 20:17-28. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now, this is actually Paul speaking, and Paul was, I guess you could use the word, ordering the elders to come to him so they could talk. And he says, he gives them some advice, that they need to watch the flock. They need to lead it in the right direction. They don't want it going downhill. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. 1 Peter 5:1-4. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Did I say the verse number for that one? There's 1 Peter 5:1-4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's God, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The eighth thing we need to look at tonight is that a Christian must submit to biblical preaching and teaching. Titus 2:15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. These two verses are about preachers. The preachers need to be ready to preach the word and to be ready to preach it always. They need to be ready for any cause. And they need to rebuke the problems and try to fix them with long-suffering, that's patience. Number 8, a Christian must submit to deacons who have authority delegated to them by the leadership. Acts 6:2-3, and verse 6. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now, the way this works in the church is that, let me make sure I get this straight, because this is a topic you don't want to get confused on. The preacher selects the elders according to what the Bible says. Then the elders select the deacons according to what the Bible says. No elders, no deacons. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Bishops is, once again, elders. Next thing we need to look at tonight, and don't y'all get mad at me at this, is that a Christian must submit to fellow Christians. Now, some people don't like this because there might be some people that they just don't want to submit to. It's just maybe because they're not nice, or I don't know why. They just don't. 1 Corinthians 16:15-16. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Asia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. Now, Paul, right here, is, okay, Stephanas is apparently a pretty well-known guy, because it says, you know the household of Stephanas. He wasn't asking a question. He was making a statement, you know the household of Stephanas. And it says that you should also submit to such. He's not saying that you should submit to the best well-known person in the brotherhood. You should submit to everyone, as he says later, where he says, and to everyone who works and labors with us. So you don't just submit to the well-known people. You submit to everyone. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, here, elders, this isn't talking about the position. You should submit yourself to those in the position of elders. This is talking about the older people. Older people. And be clothed with humility. Now, not often, but sometimes some of the older people don't do what's right, and that needs to be fixed. And it says, be clothed with humility. You need to do that when you try to fix the problem. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submission is not based on one being smarter, stronger, or more important than another, but on God's design for the church. Have you submitted to those you should in the church? If you have never submitted yourself to God, you can tonight. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and will repent of your sins and confess Him as God's Son, you can submit to His command to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are a Christian but have not been submitting as you should, you may need to repent and make that right. Please come as we stand and sing.